interesting part of Srimad Bhagavatam talks about how the living entities sometimes, depending on their state of development, spiritual development, may pray within the womb of their parents. So, yena drishim gatim maso dashamash maasha isha.
Yena drishim gatim maso dashamash isha.
Sangrahita purudayena bhavadrishena.
Sangrahita purudayena bhavadrishena.
Svenai vatushya tukritena sadina nata.
Svenai vatushya tukritena sadina nata.
Konamatat prativinanjalimasya kurya.
Konamatat prativinanjalimasya kurya.
Just the word for word. Dena.
Dena.
By whom?
By whom?
The Lord.
The Lord.
Idrishim.
Idrishim.
Such.
Such.
Gatim.
Gatim.
A condition.
A condition.
Aso.
Aso.
That person.
That person.
Myself.
Myself.
Dashamasya.
Dashamasya.
10 months old.
10 months old.
Isha.
Isha.
O Lord.
O Lord.
Sangrahita.
Sangrahita.
Was made to accept.
Purudayena,
Purudayena, very merciful.
Very merciful.
Avadrishena,
Avadrishena,
incomparable.
Incomparable.
Svena,
Svena,
own.
Eva,
Eva, alone.
Alone.
Tushyatu,
Tushyatu,
may he be pleased.
May he be pleased.
Kritena,
Kritena,
with his act.
With his act.
Sa,
Sa,
that.
That.
Dinanata,
Dinanata,
refuge of the fallen souls.
Refuge of fallen souls.
Ka,
Ka,
who?
Who?
Nama,
Nama,
indeed.
Indeed.
Tat,
Tat,
that mercy.
That mercy.
Prati,
Prati,
in return.
In return.
Vina,
Vina,
accept with.
Accept with.
Anjalim,
Anjalim,
folded hands.
Folded hands.
Asya,
Asya,
of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
Kurya,
Kurya,
can repay.
Can repay.
Translation. My dear Lord, by your causeless mercy, I'm awakened to consciousness, although I'm only 10 months old. For this causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the friend of all fallen souls, there is no way to express my gratitude but to pray with folded hands. Please repeat. My dear Lord,
my dear Lord,
by your causeless mercy,
by your causeless mercy,
I'm awakened to consciousness.
I'm awakened to consciousness.
Although I'm only 10 months old.
Although I'm only 10 months old.
For this causeless mercy,
for this causeless mercy,
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
the friend of all fallen souls,
the friend of all fallen souls,
there is no way to express my gratitude.
There is no way to express my gratitude.
But to pray with folded hands.
But to pray with folded hands.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, intelligence and forgetfulness are both supplied by the super soul sitting with the individual soul within the body. When he sees that a conditioned soul is very serious about getting out of the clutches of the material influence, the Supreme Lord's intelligence internally as the super soul and externally as the spiritual master or as an incarnation of the Personality of Godhead himself. He helps by speaking instructions such as Bhagavad Gita. The Lord is always seeking the opportunity to reclaim the fallen souls to his abode, the kingdom of God. We should always feel very much obliged to the Personality of Godhead, for he is always anxious to bring us into the happy condition of eternal life. There is no sufficient means to repay the Personality of Godhead for his act of benediction. Therefore, we can simply feel gratitude and pray to the Lord with folded hands. This prayer of the child in the womb may be questioned by some atheistic people. How can a child pray in such a nice way in the womb of his mother? Everything is possible by the grace of the Lord. the child is put into such a precarious condition externally, but internally he's the same and the Lord is there. By the transcendental energy of the Lord, everything is possible. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyanangara Surakaya Chakshurun Vritam Dina Tasmai Shri Guru Venamaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. As I was reading this purport, I had this very graphic remembrance. That was a long time ago, just before I moved into a temple, and we were living, we means me, my wife, and my dog, were living in the Laurentians, and I decided to break the news to my parents that I was going to move into the temple, and I did it over the telephone. So I remember standing in the telephone booth, because that's how you made telephone calls in those days. I was standing in the telephone booth, and I was. And my mother asked, "Why do you want to join Krishna consciousness?" And I said, "Because when I was in your womb, I promised to Krishna that I'd become a devotee." And she was speechless. She said, "All right, I can't answer to that." Here, one thing is Dashamasya, which is 10 months old. We usually count 9 months in the womb. And that's because the Vedic system of counting is is different. We count when you're born, you're 0 years old or 0 days old until, and then 1 month later, you're 1 month old. But Bhagavatam's system is that when you're born, you're one. It may be 1 year, 1 month, 1 day. And then you count from there. So if you're counting from one, then a child takes birth at 10 months. If you count from zero, then he takes birth at 9 months. So that's why it's 10. Not that they were in the womb for a longer period of time. Sukadeva Goswami was in the womb for quite some time. But that was a different situation. And then he only was willing to come out when Krishna personally came and reassured him, "It's all right, Maya won't touch you." Otherwise, he didn't see any particular point in coming into the material world. Yes, in Bhagavad Gita, here Srila Prabhupada is quoting, Krishna says, "Matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha." He says, "From me comes knowledge, forgetfulness, and remembrance." So everything originally comes from Krishna. Krishna is the source of all of these things. And this remembrance may come even at such a stage where we are in the womb of our mother suffering. It's a very, very suffering situation. Krishna lets us forget. We forget because it's sort of our entrance into the material world, and if we had any intelligence, we'd figure out, well, if this is the way it starts, then we may as well just forget about the rest of it. But we forget how painful, uncomfortable a situation it is, and then that way we get this sort of idea that we're going to actually make something of life as we go along, and that we're going to be happy and enjoyable. But it just gets worse as it goes along. But once again, we forget, isn't it? How many bad situations have you gone through? Or as thankfully doctors say, for instance, pain has no memory. either you've been in a painful situation or you've hit your thumb with a hammer, if all of those things were accumulating at the present moment, we'd be running around in circles right now. We wouldn't be sitting here, but we forget. Krishna helps us forget. And that has its disadvantage. It has its disadvantage because when you forget suffering, then this illusion of a hope for a better life in the future can arise. But there is no better life in the future. There's only death in the future. And between now and then, there's what we call life. If you're in jail, and you're sent to the gallows. Well, they don't send you to the gallows now, but they don't send you anywhere. They just let you die in jail, or they let you out after a couple of years if you're a mass murderer. But if you're sentenced to death, then they may electrocute you or give you some injection. So is there such a thing as making a better life in jail before you're going to be executed? No. But still, that's a pohanam. That's the influence of that forgetfulness. And Krishna allows us to forget, and by his maya, which is duratyaya, very difficult to overcome, he allows us to forget so that we can pursue our plans for enjoyment. Although they're really futile and they're going to end up in suffering. On the other hand, if somehow or another the ball starts rolling, the spiritual ball starts rolling, and we acquire some spiritual assets, then Krishna may remind us. Now he may remind us like this. If you're very fortunate, he may be, as Prabhupada here says, as an incarnation. So here are all these incarnations, and one of the unique features of all the incarnations is that they're all talking to somebody. Matsya Avatar talks to Maharaj Satyavrata, and Kurma incarnation, well, he doesn't talk to anybody, at least that I can remember. Lord Varaha talks to Bhumi Devi, he talks to Mathura Mahatmya, Lord Nrisingadev, Prahlad Maharaj. So, or the Lord is directly speaking, or in the absence of all those things, Krishna is Svadharma Bhagati. All right, what happens when Krishna's not there? And what happens if I can't hear Krishna, either in the womb, or what to speak of in the womb, when we come outside? So we think it's a wonderful thing hearing Krishna in the womb. But Krishna is speaking to us here now. Super Soul is always there telling us, don't do this, do that. Question is whether we hear, because we're so busy running around hearing ourselves, and then even when we happen to hear, whether we want to listen. And generally, we tend to do neither. But Krishna's there, and particularly Krishna is here in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. You don't have to remember what happened in the womb. Don't have to remember what happened in a previous life. Isn't it, when you're preaching, then... So often people who have some kind of interest in reincarnation, they all say, can you tell me what I was in my previous life? Who cares if you were in your previous life? It wasn't good because you're here right now. And it may be good that you forget what you were in your previous life. But you had a previous life. That's a fact. Though Krishna says, Komara Jovara Tatadihantara Prakti. There was a previous life. So why do you need to remember? Intelligence just means you hear about facts as they are. You don't need the experience. The experience is for fools. For intelligent people, they hear and they say, that's enough. So the classic example is, I have to stick my hand in fire in order to know that it burns. You can, but that's not very smart. But better that you just listen to someone who knows and say, don't touch. And of course, sticking your hand in fire once is one thing, but what happens when you've been sticking your hand in the fire 10 billion times? So there isn't food is one word, but then there isn't actually a word to express that. But that's our situation, despite the fact that, but we can't remember. So you can't remember, but Krishna's reminding us. Vaishnavas, spiritual master, also remind us. And Srimad Bhagavatam reminds us, Bhagavad Gita reminds us. And for that, we need to be very grateful. Otherwise, we're doomed. The only place worse than jail is Swansea. In an early morning when it's raining, as we're driving down here, told Thrakanath, why in the world would anyone trade living in Goloka Vrindavan for this? You gotta be crazy. And crazy is one thing, and then once you realize what a bad deal I've made, then you keep on doing it. It's like if you're an investment broker. You made an investment with someone, and that company went broke. And they say, well, maybe they'll do better the next time. So when they recapitalize a little, then we just invest in them again. And then again, and again, and again. So we keep doing it. We keep investing in this body, and we invest in another body, and another body, and in this material world. And so we don't listen. And that's actually a very unfortunate thing. And that's why when Bhagavatam says manda, sumanda, mandabhagya, manda means that they don't listen. They're unfortunate, because it doesn't matter if you tell them, don't stick your hand in the fire, they won't listen. So they're unfortunate. And then sumanda, mandabhagya, so it keeps repeating. The unfortunate condition of living entities in the material world. But we should, by good association, learn how to hear. And that's what hearing really means. It doesn't just mean sitting in Bhagavatam class. It doesn't just mean... It means that you act on what you hear. Jnana, vijnana, astika. So when Srila Prabhupada says that the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement is to raise people to the brahminical platform, it means just that. People who know what's right and know how to do what's the right thing is. Because there's people who know what's right, but they don't necessarily do the right thing. And those are people in the mode of passion. And then there are those people who don't know what's right and know what's wrong. Pravritischa, nivritischa, janana, sura, ma, sura. So, but someone who knows what's right and does the right thing, then that's the person who's destined toward spiritual advancement, spiritual perfection. And we're so obliged. So we should, that's why we're here, or everyone's here, because they came to the conclusion that yes, I have to do something for Krishna, I'm obliged to Krishna. Somehow or another, we've all been awakened to the fact that we are devotees of Krishna. And then so what do we do to repay that? So Krishna says, Yaidam paramam guyam mad bhakteshu vidashati. You remind other people as well. So if we've been reminded, they remind other people and show them how to also do the right thing. Not to waste this very rare human form of life, especially in Kali Yuga. Satya Yuga, things are relatively good and peaceful. But in this world, in this day and age, at the pace things are deteriorating, then this isn't a place to be hanging around. This is a place to actually complete our business and really go back to Godhead. In that sense, it's a given that those who follow Krishna's instructions, we hear from Lord Kapila here, Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, then there, chaptam diham punar janmanaiti mamiti, then you come to me, Krishna says. Pratijani priyosimi, this is my pratigya, I promise you. So if we believe in Krishna's promise, then it works. And in the meantime, then we also try to awaken others to that same type of awareness or consciousness. We should always feel very much obliged to the personality of Godhead, for he is always anxious to bring us to happy condition of eternal life. And we are always anxious to stay in a miserable condition of temporary life. It's a very unbalanced tug of war. It's a senseless tug of war. Krishna wants what's good for us, and we do well. You're all old enough to know. You all experienced that dynamic here, that your parents told you to do one thing, and they said, because you wanted to do another thing, and later on you realized that the other thing was actually not the right thing. The right thing would have been to do what parents say, because they have experience, and they're not always right, especially when they tell you not to join the Hare Krishna movement. But sometimes they're right. And so similarly, Krishna wants the right thing. And Krishna wants us to enjoy, doesn't want us to suffer here. So we should be very much obliged to Krishna, and somehow or another try to pay back that obligation. And as we want to actually return to Krishna, and as that desire increases more and more, then smitim jnanam apohanam cha, Krishna will remind us. He reminds of many things. Just like he's reminding the living entity here, he's a devotee, then ultimately he reminds us about our eternal relationship with him, and he reminds us about our eternal service with him, and so on. And he shows us the path, how to actually get there. So we should not become ungrateful. That's what Bhumi Devi says, that she can tolerate a lot of things, and there's a lot of things on the surface of this earth, but an ungrateful person, and she says, okay, I can't tolerate the weight of an ungrateful person. And real ungratefulness is, of course, there's so many relative forms of that we experience here in the world, but real ungratefulness is when you really get the key that unlocks the door to this material existence, unlocks the door to this eternal suffering, and allows us to go back to a happy condition of eternal life. We should not be ungrateful. We should be very, very grateful for that. And then what do? Vijnana. Then give your life, as Prabhupada would say, give this one life to Krishna. Serve Krishna, preach on Krishna's behalf, reawaken other people, and then go back to Krishna at the end of life. Hare Krishna. Anyone, any questions, comments? Karnata was puzzled about why that door isn't painted. This door is painted. Yeah, the other door is painted.
A later edition of this book.
We synchronized the later edition with the.
Yeah.
Anyone?
You're talking about gratitude. So how can we show our gratitude?
We, as I mentioned, Krishna tells us, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells us, Jari Dekatarikaha Krishna Upadesh, that you remind other people about the same thing, as Prabhupada here said. It gives the intelligence internally a superstore, externally as a spiritual master, or as an incarnation of personality of Godhead. Well, that's how we show our gratitude to Krishna. So Krishna says, yes, what do I want you to do? Yeah, you speak the same Bhagavad Gita to devotees, speak it to the non-devotees. And that's how you pass on that same good message, that same goodwill. that we've received. And then that becomes the most valuable thing. And that was Srila Prabhupada's deep and, in one sense, unique understanding of Krishna consciousness, that having received Krishna consciousness as a Vaishnava, you have to put all different comforts aside. Prabhupada put aside the comfort of living in Vrindavan. He left his family. He left Vrindavan. He got on a boat with nothing. It wasn't even a ship. It was more like a boat. He got on a boat with nothing. He went to a strange country. So he sacrificed everything. Why? Because he was grateful. Grateful for what he received. So just one life. Anything else that we think about as alternatives, we've already done many times. In fact, other things that we can't think about, because we can't remember. So we've all done it, and the end result is Swansea. So, despite the fact that, of course, this is God's country, it doesn't say much of God, does it? Anybody else? Nice to be able to speak in English again for a change. I have to stop and waiting for someone to translate them. Okay, so, but tomorrow morning we're not having a Bhagavatam class because we have to leave at 6. What time do we have to leave to go to? What time do we have to be in Leicester?
11.
Huh?
11-ish.
11. And that's 4 hours?
I'm here. Somebody told me 2.
2? By airplane?
3.
3?
Yeah, but 11 means I'm unpacked and ready to go by 11. Okay, anyway, 7 the latest.
Yes,
okay. All right, so then we'll meet later on this evening. You had a question?
Yeah. Thank you for class. All right. I'm just wondering, when we externally engage in activities which are expressing that gratitude, sharing Krishna consciousness with others, but we don't actually internally feel that gratitude.
It doesn't matter. Even if you don't feel it, you still go through the exercise, and by doing that, then it will come. Because by serving Krishna, then the heart will become purified. So obligation or duty, that may come before the actual emotion, but by doing it, it comes. Like Prabhupada would say, you're not enthusiastic, but pretend that you're enthusiastic and you'll become enthusiastic. The activity will inspire you. So sometimes we may not feel like that, but still we know this is the right thing to do.
So. As you mentioned, that pain has no memory, and one of the...
Except in some certain circumstances, some people are... They have that type of physical situation where the pain doesn't stop. That's very unfortunate. Pain is a real...
Yeah.
Really sobers you up as to what material world is about.
One of the kinds of persons who comes to Krishna is one who's suffering. So I guess my question is, if pain had memory, wouldn't it be easier and a quicker process to go back to Krishna?
The thing is, it would just, if it did have memory and all of that pain accumulated or built up, it may be very difficult to deal with. Just like people who have physical pain, if that pain becomes too much, then even though it may be sobering, but sometimes also breaks people's faith and reason and everything else, because it's just too much. So if we had experience of all of our miseries, that would also be too difficult for us to deal with. And ultimately, the awakening of course, not just feeling of indebtedness, but the awakening of affection and attachment to Krishna, it's not going to happen by those things. It's not going to happen by experience. It's not going to happen by remembering our suffering. It starts off with jnana, bhavo jnana tapasa putramad bhava, and then it happens by when you have proper knowledge and you learn how to be a jnani and act on knowledge, then your heart becomes purified. You perform activities whereby your heart becomes purified. So you can't get around becoming a jnani. Tesham jnani nitya yuktam eko bhakti vishishate. Whatever you come for, whatever experience you have, but ultimately it has to bring you to becoming a thinker. You have to become a scholar. It doesn't mean a scholar, but it has to be that you're smart enough to do the right thing without having to be beaten on the head all the time. Because in the ultimate issue, when we're talking about awakening love for God, there's no force, there's no pain. Either it's completely not just voluntary, but it's something that you embrace, or it's not the realm that you can't get into a material world, and you can't get into the spiritual world by wanting to be liberated, wanting to be free from suffering. That's why pure devotional service is jnana, karma, dinavrita. You may want to be free from suffering. You can get as far as the Brahmajyoti, but that's as far as you go. The spiritual world is not for people who want anything. It's just for people who, well, they just want to give. You want to get beyond the material world and the world of, it's not even the world, but it's a sphere of liberation, then you only givers go there. Takers can't get there. If you want anything, then you can't get there. You only get there if you give. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Panchatattva ki jai. Jai Nitya Gopinath.